Yo, 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 welcome to the Interns Podcast, episode too many.
We're keeping it fresh. It's always exciting to do the Interns Podcast, Nate. I never get tired of this.
No, why would we?
Why would we?
Why would we? Hey, I'm your host, Nate, and two in front of me is co-host.
I did say that last week, yeah.
Yeah,
but it's demeaning when you say it.
When I say co-host?
Yeah.
But why?
I don't know.
I feel like co-host would just mean also the host. Isn't that what co means?
So because you're the one that does the editing and everything, you probably do deserve that.
Fun fact, I accidentally, copyrighted the Interns Podcast under my name. So
did you really? Okay, I think that really settles. Yeah, I don't think I'm winning this one.
Well, yeah, that it's funny. It's just like if you go to usually it what it should have been is copyrighted under the Stats Interns
the Interns.
Well, yeah, because it's you want to copyright the name, but Nope, I copyrighted Nate Hicks, so there cannot be a show named Nate Hicks right now because if it did, I could sue them.
And when the money comes rolling in, guess whose pocket it's going into?
Nate Hicks 2023, baby. Come on. Good stuff. Oh, we have a show website.
Thank you for listening to us. I now request that you do not make us that popular. He's gone. He's looking at his phone.
I'm reading our website.
Oh, what does it say?
It's just the website that we post through.
Oh.
I created, this is what I wrote as our bio, a fun and friendly podcast about the life of two church interns and their thoughts on various topics.
My good Nate, we weren't planning on this, but we've got to bring this up. This is your year anniversary.
Moving on.
You've been at the church for a year. This is a moment.
Hey guys, I'm so glad to be here for year two. Let's go.
I met a year ago.
Bronco Nation, let's ride.
I remember coming over, walking over to your house and helping you unload your shoes.
You did do that.
Me and Brad helped you unpack in like 10 minutes flat.
It was very short. There's two cars.
Yeah.
So, and I said, you guys really don't have to do this.
I said, who's this guy in his luxurious hair?
And I said,
and it was you.
I said, who's that guy with Brad?
It was Brad.
It was you.
You could say it any which way.
Yeah. It was that guy with Brad Courtney.
Oh, okay.
And then we went to the table that night.
Oh, we did. That's right. Yeah. That's when I also met you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that dinner.
Because their first introduction of you was Brad doesn't eat anything but chicken nuggets. And then you ordered shrimp, scally, wagger, whatever.
And so you were like,
I said, you guys are wrong. And then you hated it.
So then I did hate it.
So then I realized, at that moment, I said, oh, he was just trying to impress me.
I was not trying to impress you. I was just trying to branch out.
Yeah, well, it didn't work.
In front of this guy with luxurious hair.
Either of them. No, you impressed me on that moment. I said, man, this guy, he goes against the grain. He doesn't listen to what people say.
That's exactly, yes.
He says, I'm gonna pave my own path.
Sure.
And so you did.
So I did.
With that shrimp scally wagger.
Anyway.
What were they actually called?
Happy year anniversary.
It's definitely
Nate.
Not called shrimp scally wagger.
It's shrimp scampi.
Is that what is I that don't what it was?
It was a year scampi. Ago, brother. Like
hey man. That's wow, dude. You've turned 33 in that year. 32.
Yeah.
32
Thanks,
in that
man.
Year.
Thanks, bro.
My birthday's next week.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I was going to forget about that.
Oh.
What I'm wondering, don't, this is between you and me
okay.
and all the people who listen.
I was about to say.
One of them is not any of the staff, except for Nicole. Okay? I don't think any of the other staff actually listens to this. Nicole and Wayne. Nicole and Wayne as well. You're in on this. My anniversary is June 9th. I want to say,
yeah.
I want to see if Zach posts it for me. I highly doubt it.
Let's keep it a secret. I don't know how people found that out.
It's on the calendar. It's on the church calendar.
Oh,
I've seen it for like the past 3 weeks.
That mine was,
yeah,
or yours,
yeah, oh. All of ours. Every staff member is on the calendar.
My father-in-law texted me today and said happy 1 year.
He is clearly on the church calendar.
Yeah, that's what it is. He knows everything. I don't know. It was really weird. Not weird. It was very out there because I didn't even know. Not
really?
Until
it didn't cross your mind?
No, not until somebody mentioned it today.
Yeah.
And it was him. He texted me and he said happy 1 year anniversary. And I was like, I got married May 19th. So what are we talking about here? And that's when I realized it was for my work.
Sure, work-iversary.
Work-iversary.
Yeah.
I guess your work-iversary, you're going to be at 2 years.
Yeah, it's not as cool as the first one.
I feel like after you get done with one, it's all about the fives.
Yeah. Same with kids. Yeah, the first one, it's a big deal, and then nobody cares until you get the fifth kid.
Yeah. And then they're like, that's too many.
Then they're like, wow.
Why five?
And then when you hit 10, they go, wow, how?
Right, yeah, literally.
And then when you hit 15, they're like, that's not possible.
They're like, that, you didn't do that. So. Shout out to anybody with kids, first off. You're the real MVPs of life.
You're just Nate.
And shout out to anybody with kids that are over, I don't know, five kids. Five or more. I feel like, I mean, how do you do what you do? Keep doing you, king and queens. And
slay on.
Slay.
We haven't even gotten to a single topic yet.
That's the point, really. Yeah. That's the point. We were talking earlier of like what to talk about. We're getting less and less to talk about as the days go on.
Well, yeah. So things are winding down for me.
Yeah.
And things are ramping up for you.
Yeah, but they're not things to talk about.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's like you're ramping up of things that are like not podcast material.
I know.
So, well, no more building chairs. And
that's true.
Actually, that was podcast material. We're going to be doing that soon.
Are we really?
Yeah.
We still got to clean out the mezzanine. Can we talk about the mezzanine, please?
No.
Come on.
No.
I'm doing it.
Don't talk.
If y'all have never been in the mezzanine.
Nobody's been in the mezzanine.
Okay. Then it's a secret room.
Don't tell them about the secret
room.
Think about how cool it is if they don't know about the
secret above room. The FLC.
Don't tell them about
the mezzanine.
Don't tell them about the secret
room. It's an upstairs like storage area.
You're the worst.
And that's it. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Yeah. We hit a key.
No, we didn't.
Somewhere in room 209.
Did we ever deflate all those balloons?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Nate, now with all that out of the way, what are we talking about?
We're going to talk about the Illuminati and...
Perfect.
No, I'm just kidding.
Love it.
We're not talking about the Illuminati. We are going to talk about how... Did you know that Coca-Cola used to have actual cocaine in it?
Yes, I did know that. I think everybody knows that.
All right. Well... It's been a great episode, guys. We will see you next week.
Peace.
When we talk about Pepsi and all the secrets that they put in that stuff, man.
How about what we did over the weekend?
I saw a video of Coca-Cola and they boiled the Coca-Cola and it just turned into tar and it was just all the stuff that could not be digestible or like could not break down.
So I'll give you two weird things I know about Coca-Cola. Well, first of all, I'll tell you the weird thing that I've done with Coca-Cola.
Ah, I don't like the way you put that.
When I was like 10, I thought it'd be really cool to watch my tooth dissolve in a bottle of Coke.
Ew, bro.
So yeah,
when
one of my teeth fell out, I put it in like a glass Coke bottle and I just let it sit in my room for months. Yeah. In hindsight, it's really, really weird.
Yeah.
But I watched it, and it sort of dissolved halfway, and then I was like, all right, that's gross, and I'm bored of it. So then I dumped it.
So it actually did dissolve, though.
About halfway. Number two, and this goes in with the dissolving, I don't know how true it is, because, you know, I'm not a specialist with this stuff, but I've heard that Coca-Cola actually cleans up a crime scene very well.
I have heard that.
Because of how acidic it is.
Yeah, acid breaks everything down.
Yeah.
So, if you're a criminal, don't be. Mm-hmm. That's... Bet you didn't think I was going to go there, but I am. This is a church podcast. What'd you expect me to say?
Nate, what did we do Monday? please. What did we do Monday, brother?
Monday was Memorial Day.
Yes. Yes. And we...
I took a nap.
Took a nap. Nice.
I made some burgers on the stovetop.
I played disc golf and you just existed.
Ha! I went and saw a movie.
What did we... You're being so uncooperative this podcast.
I'm just telling you what I did Monday. This is not what you wanted from me.
I wanted us to talk about the topic that we decided 2 minutes before turning on the mics.
I forgot about that part.
Yeah.
No, yeah, we went and played disc golf again. And it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I liked it much better than the first experience because I actually enjoyed the scenery of this one.
Yeah.
I feel like the first one we went to, it was fun to hang out, and you know, we actually got some really good pizza, man. I need to go back to that place.
Yeah,
that place was insane.
Yep.
But it was so open and I just was in a park. This one, like, you went in the woods and I was like, this is kind of cool. I'm kind of like in an oasis from humanity at the moment. And it was really cool. So it was like me, you, and Brad, me, you, and Zach were the only peoples on the earth at that moment.
That's how you felt?
That's how I felt.
I was just like, oh, we're in the Florida swamp.
No, man, we were captured by the beauty around us.
No, I said, I'm in the woods.
I heard the cherubs singing in my ear.
I heard the palm fronds rustling with snakes.
Considering how many of those palm fronds I stepped into and saw no snakes, I don't think there was a single snake there.
Whatever. Prove me wrong.
There were no snakes there.
But we did play. Yeah.
There are no snakes.
Okay. You're right, Nate.
There's not a single snake. There's no snakes in Florida.
I can't prove you wrong, technically, yeah, at the moment.
Show me one. I haven't seen one in 2 weeks.
Well, I'll bring one to church.
That's okay. You really don't have to. I
was like, oh, wait a second. I know how to turn this around.
No, Nate, here's the snake. Wait a minute.
But we did. Zach got it into us. I came home and I was like, Jess, I hate to admit it, but I actually like disc golf. I want to play it more.
Yeah. I told Zach, because I had mentioned, I was like, hey, man, what are you doing this weekend? There is no part of me that wants to go play disc golf alone. Like, there's no part of me that's like, man, I want to wake up at 7:30 and go throw these discs.
I have the urge now.
Yeah. He was trying to tell me that I do have the urge, but I was like, I really don't. I just know it's what you guys like to do, and I like being around you guys. And if that's, and I like doing something. I'm a big, I'm a guy, and guy, you know, the whole study of like guys do better side to side, you know, doing like we feel more emotionally connected when we're doing an activity together than if we were like sitting across the table.
Mm.
I agree with that. And so I think disc golf allows you to do that really, really well. So I would do it again.
Yeah.
I would not do it alone.
It was fun. We got to launch them.
Yeah.
Got to walk around. You know, when you try to describe disc golf to somebody, it just sounds really boring. It's like, yeah, we walked. Well, we threw the disc. I got lost in the woods. I got lost in the woods a lot. We permanently lost one. You joined me with the club of permanently losing discs.
Oh, yeah. I did lose one.
I don't know which one it was, though. Yeah. We only have like a limited number. Someone gifted the church a bunch of like hand-me-down discs. Shout out.
That was a shout out to him.
Okay.
For doing that.
Shout out. Yes.
I don't know his name, so I didn't shout
out. And so we're slowly like dwindling down. And I think when we reach zero, something terrible will happen.
We just start borrowing Zach's.
We just start, and then we lose his.
And then we stop being invited.
And yeah, and then when that reaches zero, he leaves.
I hate that you said it that way.
It's willing. We don't kick him out. Maybe that'd be better. It's like, Zach, we only hired you for your discs.
We had hired you for one reason. It was your discs.
Oh, boy. So that was a great way to spend that morning. Yeah, and you're right. I really just enjoy hanging out with you guys. That's pretty much the short of it. And getting outside. I mean, it's Florida. It was a little hot towards the tail end, but it was nice and shaded for the most part.
Yeah. It is. I'd put it up there. It's like a pickleball sport, you know?
Yeah.
Just obscure ones that people really have taken a liking to in the past 5-10 years.
So it's like disc golf, also a cultish group. Are we drinking, are we drinking the Kool-Aid right now?
No, 100% it is.
Oh, no. I'm getting roped
Brother,
in.
Have you watched? Like, just go sit in Zach's office and watch him do what he does. You'll just be having a regular conversation, and you look on his computer screen, and he's looked up this.
I saw him do it.
Or like he's looking at the scores. Yeah, they're a cult, 100%, 100%.
I saw him shopping for discs one time, and he's like, "Dude, this one's nice." And I'm not there. It was just a frisbee to me, which I'm sure after calling a disc a frisbee, I will get hunted down.
Yeah, I do it. I do it just to mess with him now. I'll call it frisbee golf. He sent me a reel is the best way of calling it on Instagram, and it was like this girl, and she was dumping out all of her discs, and she had like 5 bags of just discs on discs on discs, and I was like, that seems to be the average disc golf player.
It's weird, isn't it? Because there's only like 3 types of discs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Putter, mid-range, and driver. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that I'm completely wrong when I say that, and it branches out.
He's just marking.
He's marking you.
Let's see what the
are you going to listen to that?
I'm okay. Not. I'm no, like, what if
are
I did?
You really gonna listen to that right now?
What?
See how we did that? While you're distracted, I guess I'll move on to my other topic because it's more of a solo topic. I've been, Jess and I have officially started selling stuff.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, to leave and get rid of all of it. We started with a lot of Jess's like craft fair supplies, went over to a friend's house, sold it really, really cheap just to get rid of it. We were supposed to meet someone at the church today to sell like a little, desk light for like $10.
Yeah.
But brother, Facebook Marketplace, I swear people get raptured on the Facebook Marketplace constantly. They'll be like, yeah, I'll meet you at 5. And then they just never respond to you ever again.
I was doing that with some shoes, and I had 2 people that did that to me.
It's just weird. It's so weird. It's like, what, they ghost you just random. The last message we got was like, hey, when can I meet you at the church? And we said literally whenever, and he was like, cool, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
And then just not even anything again.
No, I liked the statement. Somebody reminded me of it yesterday. I can't remember who it was. Was it Pastor Wayne, maybe? Yeah, it was. We were talking about Nate Bargatze, and he made a bit about Facebook Marketplace. It was all about like how his wife is putting things on Facebook Marketplace and just like openly putting their address on. And he was like, best case scenario, we get $5. Worst case scenario, our entire family gets murdered. So that's how I feel about Facebook Marketplace.
I think Jess, she's the only one that uses it. We never meet at our house.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't, whatever.
There's many people, because a lot of people will just put it on their front porch and just like say, hey, got it on the front porch, leave the money under the mat or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, man, I get it. You know, good trust right there.
So we looked at the rest of our stuff, and I was in there today, and I was like, what else could I sell in here? There's like nothing worth over like $5 in our guest room. And it's just all random things. We're going to have a yard sale, I think, in like July or something. And I mean, we're literally just going to be like, does the next intern probably want this cat carrier? Probably not. Let's try to get rid of it. You know, does the next intern want my 6 Rubik's cubes? Probably not. Yard sale it.
Right.
So it's you go in the room, and if you were to go in the room, you'd probably look around and be like, this looks normal. But like, there's everything that we think is important, we've already taken out of it. And the rest of it is just stuff that we're just almost borderline going to give away.
Yeah.
So It feels good because you know I'm a guy who loves to throw stuff away.
You do.
Oh, it's just such a passion. It's like I'm making things right again.
Yeah.
And so I'm itching a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what's going on in my life. We also sent out our first newsletter.
I didn't get it.
I didn't think you did. It might have gone to your spam. Did you sign up for it?
I don't know.
Mine went to my spam. Our first.
No, that's not a good sign.
I know.
We got to get that fixed.
It's my first missionary newsletter. And it was cool. It was like, what's a church planner? What are we doing? How can you pray for us? The prayer was like, please pray for us that we don't blow it at the SBC when we're on stage.
I got to tell Dan about this. Somebody tried to fake us him.
So, I guess that's it. Yeah.
Sorry, now I'm going to my spam.
You are, yeah, you're a little sidetracked.
Update.
It's okay. It's fine. I still love you. Your hair's still great.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I don't think I signed up for your I didn't know I could. You didn't tell me about it, man.
Terrible friend. I blame you. I did not tell you about it.
I don't think you told me ever about that.
Oh, boy. So.
So much went right to my spam.
I think that's it. Did like 3 hours of training videos today. Enough of that IMB, though, Nate. Let's get to our biblical topic, huh? You were in charge of it.
Let's do it.
I offered a silly biblical topic, and you said, Brad, that's terrible.
That's not how that went.
That's how I heard it.
All right. For the record, here's what happened. Brad walks in. Actually, I walk in. Brad goes, do you want to do a silly biblical topic today? And I said, I've got our biblical topic. And you said, that's a no then. So.
I stand by what I said. So what is it?
Brad, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Oh, did you just K-me?
Okay.
What is your problem today?
That's not a biblical sin. There we go. Is that our biblical topic for today? What's your problem?
What's your problem, man? What's your issue? What's your deal? What are you stepping in, man? No, brother. I've been thinking about this recently. This has come up in a few of my thought processes, and as well as like conversations that I've had with people, and really thoughts that I've had with people as well. And the question is, man, how should you deal with constructive criticism as a Christian?
How should I deal with constructive criticism?
You personally, but also like open-ended.
Okay.
Not like, hey, Brad, here's the thing you need to worry about. But how should we as Christians?
This is actually just.
Brad, I need to tell you something.
Yeah, this is just an avenue for you to be like, brother, I need to call you out.
No, bro. Yeah, how should we as Christians deal with constructive criticism?
As always, there's a lot of nuances. But I would say genuine constructive criticism from a trusted source. I mean, we should welcome it. We should welcome it. So there's the short of it.
Hey, guys, that's awesome. We'll see you next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, for real. And then, you know, it gets into who is this person? Is this person a believer? Does this person have the right to speak into your life? Was what the person saying credible? Does the person know what they're talking about?
Yeah.
And then you look at yourself. You're like, are you prepared to hear this? Are you willing to change this? Are you like emotionally secure enough to be like, you're right, that is an issue that I have, and it's something I should correct. Woo, there's a lot of stuff. That being said, I would say that like a Christian in constructive criticism, make sure that the criticism is from a godly trusted source. And then make sure that what they're telling you aligns with scripture and be open to it. Holy Spirit speaks through other people. There you go. I talked for more than 10 seconds on it.
I'm really proud of you.
Thank you. What do you think?
I'm so proud of you. I'm not ready yet.
That's okay. I'll keep talking.
I'm going to laser you.
Bro, it's fine.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's fine.
No, but I do want to just keep asking you a few questions because I think we're on a good train here. Do you think somebody that isn't a Christian can give you good criticism? Yeah,
absolutely. Like, imagine, like, if you accept Christ at a young age and your dad's not a believer, it'd be sad, but I mean, that wisdom that your dad might bring you up in might still be really practical and really helpful. I wouldn't disqualify non-Christian constructive criticism. Even in the workplace, if you're a believer, your boss might not be, and your boss might have some really insightful things to say about you.
Yeah.
So.
What checker would you say do you have to go through if you're, so like say, you know, a non-believer comes to you and says such and such thing about you. What kind of self-check do you need to go through?
You definitely need to weigh against scripture.
Yeah.
You definitely need to be like, okay, how does this line up with the Bible and my priorities? I mean, if like a coworker or your boss comes up to you and they're like, hey man, just a little bit of constructive criticism. You excel at your job, but you don't spend enough hours. Maybe if you just like, you know, took some Sundays to put in more work on the project, you know, you'd get that promotion.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, I hear you, but I'm not going to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So just a first thing that popped into my head.
No, that's good. That's good. Yeah. I think constructive criticism, sadly, I think we, oh man, I don't want to be too provocative with my language here. But I think we've become pretty soft, you know, to sound very grandpa-esque. But the more people, and I mean, I got to throw myself into this as well. I think we don't value criticism like we should. I think we actually, our goal is usually to be very defensive about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it comes down to a lot of, you know, we are in a generation and an age where everybody knows everything about everybody, right? Where we're the most connected through social media, through, I can text somebody in Tennessee right now. I can text my family in Tennessee. I call my family in Tennessee and they can answer. Right?
I talked to somebody in Thailand earlier.
Ni hao.
That's not it.
Oh, sorry.
We're losing all of our Thai and Chinese viewers right now,
yeah.
Nate.
Yeah, that's on me. That's on me. See, but you just confronted me, and I accept that. Thank you for that criticism. No, but seriously, I really think we need to get back into being able to accept criticism. Man, you talk about biblical precedent of checking criticism with the Bible. Man, I just think about how most of the New Testament is Paul kind of just like coming at throats, you know?
Oh, he is, brother. He's fierce.
Yeah, he doesn't pull punches as much. And I think we have fallen into this fear to take constructive criticism is for you to judge me, and you shouldn't judge me, only God judges me, right?
Oh yeah, that's pretty common in society.
And it's very sad to hear phrases like that, or to hear misbeliefs such as that we shouldn't be held accountable for a higher way of living based on our faith, and that we don't have this culture of brothers and sisters in Christ holding each other to a higher standard, and that we as people aren't accepting those higher standards openly and seeking to live to please the Lord through our lives and through our actions and through our words, through our thoughts, whatever it is. But I think it's something I've struggled with in my past too, of like not being able to take criticism well from whether it's peers, whether it's superiors, whatever it might be. But I think we need to figure out, and I guess my follow-up question to you would be, what do you think are some good steps to take in making sure, kind of maybe like a like a self-check of how well do I take criticism?
Rip the Band-Aid off. Mm. Go to someone who you can actually trust. And I mean, just sit down with them. Hey, I need to spend a few minutes with you. I need to hear what you see in my life. Mm. Because I come from the spot where I did not handle constructive criticism very well because I was already so hypercritical of myself. And so whenever someone told me something I was doing wrong, it really stuck with me. And I handled it not like a tailspin, but I did not handle it very well. It only just wounded my self-esteem even more. And so part of being here at Stetson was part of me like looking at myself and being like, I need to show confidence. And part of that is accepting constructive criticism. Yeah. Well, there are many times we talk about you've been here for a year. The first few months I was here was like me going into past like Dan and Brad's office a lot. And I had to have a lot of hard talks of like, what do you see in me? What's good, what needs to be worked on.
Yeah.
And I mean, that would be my encouragement. If you look at yourself and you're like, I don't think I handle it well, go to someone you love and trust, someone with fresh eyes as well. And then just, what do you see in me?
Right.
What's good? What needs to be improved?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
What do you think?
I think you did add a piece to that. That's very essential is, you know, constructive criticism. A lot of it, I like the idea of like a kindness sandwich or encouragement sandwich, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. If we're going to give constructive criticism, we have to be willing and ready and more excited to encourage them where they're yes. succeeding, you know?
Yeah.
We should not be people that are looking, you know,
looking encouragement
to tear people down, right? We're called to be people that are encouraging and that are building each other up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that building does look like, hey, if there's a sore spot, you know, like think about it as a construction site. If there's a bad piece of a building, that thing needs to get removed.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, you got to support the weight of that structure that it was having, right? And so we have to be able to look at someone and say, hey, man, you're doing really well here, and I can't encourage you enough. I want to admonish you, and I want to tell you I look up to you so much for how you do this well and this well. Can I just tell you, there's just one thing that I think you could grow in right here, and I think it would benefit you very well. There's a very kind way of putting that. That doesn't, you know, you're not coming in guns a-blazes of, hey, you can't do this well. You are so like, bad at
you're
this.
Trash.
Yeah.
You're bad.
You're garbage, kid.
Yeah. No. Or I mean, or even we joke, but even if you do say it in a appropriate way, that's still just the like, here's something wrong, you know, it's still tough. Yeah. I like what you said about Paul, where Paul was ready to like tear people a new one. Yeah. But man, the New Testament is full of Paul also encouraging and celebrating. Man,
every single one of his, I think there are a few examples that people laugh about where he was like, man, he didn't encourage at all. He just had to rip you one because that was how rough that area was or that church was doing. But yeah, most of his letters would start with, man, I'm so blessed by you. Yeah. I keep hearing these good things about you. And then, hey, here's what I'm hearing that's not good. Here's what needs to change. Here are questions you've asked me that you want me to answer.
Yeah.
And it's always ended by, man, I can't wait to come see you. I can't wait to see what God, the Lord's going to continue to do in you. Here's my plans to come try to make my way out towards you. Right. Mm-hmm. So I agree. He is very honest and this is not to say don't pull. We're not telling you to pull punches. Like if there's something that needs to be, gotten rid of or needs to be confronted and is a very serious thing, which a lot of times it can be. You're not to come in kind of sugarcoat it down of, oh well, you're okay. But no, like just be honest as well as making sure that however deep your criticism is going to. Your criticism will be, that's how deep your encouragement needs to be just as much on the other side,
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh.
Come on, man. Wow. Bars.
Bars.
Bars. Come on, man. I'm coming at you. Boop, boop.
Which ties back into having like strong relationships yeah. with people.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to, you know, build each other up if you don't know so much about
right.
each other?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that relationship piece is key, because constructive criticism isn't me telling you what you need to do better. It's me telling you, hey, here's an aspect that you need to grow in. Let me help. Mm-hmm. Let me be there with you. That you need this. I see that you struggle here. I want to help you there. I don't want to, you know, I'm not just leaving you on an island with nothing to do about it. I'm telling you, hey, you can grow here, and I'm here to help you do that. Hey, how can I grow, right? Being able to say, like, this is a two-sided relationship. It's not me telling you what you're doing wrong and I'm perfect. No, it's, hey, we both are good at things, and we both have pitfalls. How can we help each other in those pitfalls, right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. Nate, I gotta know. Has someone been hitting you with constructive criticism lately?
No.
Okay.
No, you want to know what it actually is?
Yeah.
And this is super vulnerable right here.
people have been tearing me up behind yeah, closed doors.
That's what it is. No, I used to be a very, very, and I'll use the word used to, because I think I've grown a lot in this. I used to be a very, very haughty person. Yeah. As an athlete, I was, you know, star player on my team, whatever. But I took that to the core of who I was.
I saw your highlight reel.
Yeah, man, it was pretty sweet right now. No, but like, I took it very personal as to who I was. And so I wanted that to be the first thing you thought about me. And so I was very haughty and prideful. And the Lord had to tear that down on me. Mm. And what that did is it made me very vulnerable and aware of when I see haughtiness or pridefulness, in somebody else. And what that comes with on the flip side of that is usually pride, and pride does not allow for you to accept criticism, because your pride is kind of that whole idea of like myself over everybody. And so if somebody came in to criticize me at that time, and what I notice is when I look at somebody's pride, I see that flip side a lot of man, I'm not, this person will, you can't say a thing to this person about what they're doing wrong, because they can't take it. And so what I like to do in those situations when I'm trying to be more aware of is, because I'm so aware of that, man, I need to make sure that I'm not that, right? Not because that is just so much worse, but because I'm so aware of it in others, that if I want to speak into anybody's life about pride, about haughtiness, about a lack of accountability, I have to make sure I'm able to take it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just thinking about it, and I thought it would be a good topic for today.
Oh, it is a really good topic.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah, you picked a good one.
Hey, man, you know what I do.
You know, this is probably beating my silly biblical topic, which was, well, by the way, it was a disaster.
Okay.
I'm not going to say what it was.
Guess what next week's topic is.
Is that it? That's it. Well, Nate, it's...
You got
put on your thinking cap.
I was about to say, guys, you got a lot to look forward to for next week.
Oh, boy. Hey, how much time do we have left?
We're running close to.
Okay. Why? I'm going to give some personal examples that were really important for me here at Stetson. When we first got here, Brad and Dan were taking me to the student center, and they were like, you're going to have to learn the soundboard. You're going to have to learn how to run lights, how to run mic, and all that. And they were like, even a real basic understanding would be helpful, especially because... you know, I might be starting my own church, and I might just have a single soundboard and it's me.
Yeah.
You know? And so Brad was like, hey, how are you with computers and stuff? And I just flat out said, I was like, hey, I am completely inept at technology. That's what I said. And how he responded was not what I was expecting. He looked at me and he goes, why are you so negative on yourself? You need to fix that.
Come on, Pastor B.
And I got humbled right then and there, because I was like...
And then you said, man, I'm the worst. I'm
just... Yeah. Well, no, I could, but like, you know, if I would have gone, oh, he's right, I am. You know, that's not it. It really hit me. And I was like, maybe I am way too critical.
Yeah.
Maybe I, you know, we should look at ourselves, but it was to the point where it was like, it was detrimental to my personality and my self-esteem. And so that was a big moment for me. The other one was really painful. It was like a couple months in, and I'm saying, like, I want to be a church planner. And then I was sitting in Pastor Dan's office doing the NAMM pipeline, and we were talking about spiritual gifts, and he looks at me and he goes, I know he was biting his tongue. He goes, you don't have the qualities of a church planter when I think of church planters. And he said,
how did that make you feel, Brad?
He's Pastor Dan, when he wants to tell you something, he's pretty straightforward about
he
it.
Is, yeah.
And I could tell that he was trying to be as kind and friendly as possible. And he said it to me, and I took it fine. I was growing. I was growing a lot. And I looked at him and I said, I get that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not, but, you know, this is God pointed me that direction. I'm going to keep looking.
Right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Where I am now is a lot different from where I was then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I really do want to say that constructive criticism was a big part of
it.
Yeah. People speaking into me.
Yeah. That's really good. Now, mine's on the experiences I'm having in the present are always actually on the other side of that spectrum, because I'm a notorious people pleaser. Like, that's what I just want.
And so I want people to be, you keep letting me win and wingspin.
Yeah, man. I always hold my cards. I want people to have fun and be in a good mood. And I'll do everything in my capacity to do that. And so a lot of that, part of that is having to say, kind of vet some of the criticism that comes, instead of saying, you know, instead of being that, yes, let's to the changing certain things, kind of saying, well, let me put that through a lens. Let me make sure, that's kind of a correct way of looking at this. Last thing I'll say about any of this, I think sometimes it's very easy, and I'll say this about really any kind of change that you're looking to implement in your life, it's very easy to kind of go, try to go full throttle on it, 0 to 100. And my advice is, you know, start where you are, not where you want to be, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if you're like, man, I don't know where I am with constructive criticism, but I know I want to be able to have people speaking into my life. This isn't the time to text 19 different people and say, hey, give me all the criticism you got, right?
Yeah.
It's like, man, just take slow steps. Start where you are.
Yeah.
Start thinking, you know, oh, hey, you know, here's this one friend I'm with.
Do I have somebody like this? If I don't, what's my first step in trying to get somebody like that?
Yeah. Oh, is that your question?
Oh, no. No, that's what I'm saying. It's like baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps. Baby steps. Yeah. Take those steps. Start where you are, not where you want to be. And then what's so great is that when you do that and you start taking those baby steps, soon enough you'll be where you want to be.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to look back and say, man, I grew so much. But you did it in a healthy way and in a way that was sustainable.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. If you need any help, Nate and I would love to criticize you.
We would love to roast you.
Please.
We will. Brad, let me roast you real quick.
It's low hanging fruit.
No, that's not true. Hey, you need to be more positive.
Oh, thank you.
You need more.
You're right.
You need to be confidence, man.
Come on, more. I got to tell one more.
Okay, go for it.
Yesterday I was in Zach's office, and it was just him and me, and he was talking about, like, he wants to take, like, younger guys under his wing for, like, spiritual mentorship. So he was asking me about people, and I was talking to him about one guy in the church, and I was like, this guy, great guy. He has his life together. And Zach stops. He goes, Brad, do you ever wonder what people say about you behind closed doors if they say you have your life together? And I went, Zach, I know exactly what people say. And I go, they go, Brad, great guy, lots of fun. 32-year-old intern needs to pick his life up a little bit, but fun.
But he's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Great character.
And Zach chuckled and laughed in that way of like, I'm not going to say it, but you said it.
Nail on the head, man.
Yeah. That's where constructive criticism will get you.
Yeah.
Golly.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Hey,
we'll end on that super high note.
It's been, yeah, it's been real. It's been fun. We hope you have a great week. And just, yeah, be willing to have people speak life or speak into your life with a lot of wisdom. Find those people, you know?
And be willing to change and grow.
Absolutely. That's the Christian walk, man. All right. We love you. Grace and peace.
See ya. We'll be right back.